everything is new. This is the beginning of a brand new trilogy. I'm completely taken aback. That's not what I was expecting. Welcome back to Talking Beasts. So much has happened. Has it been 2 weeks or 2 years since we last did an episode? I am Glumpuddle.
I'm Twigs.
And with us, special guest, we have Fantasia Kitty.
Hello, everybody.
Tell us what you do on Narnia Web.
Well, I used to do almost everything, but now I have backed off. I am just the forum administrator at this point in time.
Which is still pretty much the gas that Narnia Web runs on, is the discussion forum. But because the Silver Chair Reading Group is still going on, right, Twigs?
Yes, it is.
How many chapters have you posted? Six, I think?
Yep, six.
Really great discussion. This is our chance to tell the filmmakers, hey, this is what, you know, get it on the record. This is what we think the book is about. So if you're interested at all in really breaking down the Silver Chair, narniweb.com, click forum, and then Silver Chair Reading Group, and we'll be discussing some of your posts in future podcasts. But anyway, so much has been going on. A 17-minute video by Joe Johnston dropped over the weekend, and we're still feeling the aftershock from it. Basically, everything is new, a new trilogy. What did he mean by that? He actually got into the themes of the story, which I really appreciated. He talked about continuity, starting from scratch, Will Poulter's gone, then he used the B word eventually.
Hey, it's better than the R word.
That's true. Or the S word, Suspian. Or the G word, global warming. You'll only get that if you've been following Narnia News. Do a Google search for Douglas Gresham, Narnia Web, global warming, and then maybe you'll get that reference. Anyway, it's generally kind of the concerns we have or the negative-ish stuff that's the most fun to talk about and panic over, because that's fun for our discussions. That's probably where this discussion will go one way or another. So let's just get since I think all three of us have an overall positive reaction, let's get the positive stuff out of the way. Twigs, what were some things in the video that jumped out at you that you had a positive reaction to?
Well, I really liked his comment about Aslan being a prominent character in the series and being in the story and in the movie, because I feel that sometimes Aslan gets overlooked a little bit in the movies.
Hopefully see Aslan play a bigger role in the Silver Chair or feel more important in the Silver Chair. I think we're with you on that one. What about you, Fantasia Kitty? What are some things you reacted positively to?
I may be in the minority on this, but I was very happy to hear about the clean break from the previous three films and the fresh start. I think that will give them the opportunity to make the movie that they want to make without having any baggage that they have to bring on board. I know for me, I was just thrilled to have contact with the director, writing to the fans this early on in the production.
Yeah.
I mean, more than anything else, I thought that was just awesome.
Yeah, the fact that he's to be doing a video at all this early is pretty cool. And then it's not just a quick hello. It was this really in-depth, he really answered questions that I really didn't expect him to answer. That was really cool, his desire to connect with the fan base, obviously. It's a fan site. We appreciate that, especially. I thought it was really cool to finally hear him talk about his experience with Lewis and him reading the Space Trilogy, Until We Have Faces, and he just talking about, and yeah, he said what I would expect him to say. Oh, I wanted to be faithful to the book and all that, obviously, but still nice to hear him say it. I like hearing him talk about Narnia. I liked his enthusiasm. I like seeing the stack of books on the bottom right corner. And so there's definitely lots of encouraging stuff and looking forward to seeing the movie. Okay, can we get to the controversial stuff?
Go for it.
Okay, so new trilogy. Let me find the right off the bat. I'm watching the video expecting him to say really generic things like, yeah, we're going to make a great movie. It's going to be unforgettable. You know, just forgetting, expecting really safe answers like that. First question, right out of the gate, someone asks, is this a reboot? And he says, and I quote, I'll do the Joe Johnston voice. Everything is new. This is the beginning of a brand new trilogy. We'll make reference to characters and events in the other films as the book does, but think of this as the beginning of an all-new trilogy. And I'm completely taken aback. That's not what I was expecting the first question to be.
And I didn't even, like, notice. It totally went over my head. I didn't even realize he had said that until later on.
Maybe if he hadn't said it again, I wouldn't have reacted so much, but he says it a couple more times. Since you're such a purist, Twigs, what's your reaction the first time you hear it?
I don't think I took it all that seriously. I mean, this is very early on, and trilogy is a word people like to throw out, whether things are trilogies or not.
Especially connected to fantasy movies and such, it's just like the word.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I saw your post, Twigs, in the forum about what the actual definition of trilogy is, and obviously that's technically true, but I think go to a public space and ask 50 people, what does movie trilogy mean? They'll say it means three movies. Maybe some of them will have the exact definition of what it means, you know, and how is Lord of the Rings a trilogy or not. You know, like some people will know that, but all will agree it, the number three. They'll agree that the number three is involved one way or another. So since there's four books remaining in the series, Silverchair, Horsens, Boy Magician's Nephew, Last Battle, why would he say trilogy? And I feel like there must be something to that. But Fantasia Kitty, I'll give you a chance to tell us why we should all calm down. And the word trilogy was just, well, what was it? But before I start sounding the alarm.
Okay, so I had a few reactions like to think about after a while. My first one was that he misspoke and just happened to say trilogy or three, and then, or it was a mistake, like he forgot about one of the books that's still to come. And that just didn't make sense to me the more and more I thought about it. So then the next thing I thought of was maybe the studios have already decided to nix one of the movies. Like they've decided Magician's Nephew is too difficult to make, and so they're not going to bother with the prequel, and they're just going to do this one, Horse and His Boy, and then The Last Battle. And then the one that I think is maybe the most likely, if he did in fact mean trilogy, and this was an idea kind of thrown around on the forum that I've thought about, is if they were to do something similar to what the Star Wars franchise is currently doing, or the Marvel franchise is currently doing, where they have
Rogue One,
where they have like several movies in production at the same time leading into a final movie. So say Silverchair, then Magician's Nephew and Horse and His Boy being filmed sort of simultaneously.
Or very close together, at least.
Or very close together. And then later on down the road, they would do Last Battle. And then, of course, the one that I should let you talk about this, Glumpuddle, instead of me.
Go for it.
The same.
An overarching narrative.
Yes, there we go. And that one I'm not buying at all until there's more evidence to support that.
Okay, so initially I was just like, trilogy, why? And the first thought was, okay, maybe it's just a film logistics thing, which is kind of what you said initially, where it's just we're developing three of them because maybe four is just too difficult to manage or whatever. Or there's three out of the remaining four they're most excited about. So they're going to film those very close together and release them, each one of them a year apart or 6 months apart or something like that. But the more I thought about it, the more it made sense that they would want to tell, if they're going to make a trilogy, my first thought is, well, act one, act two, act three. They're going to tell an overarching narrative. You know, Lord of the Rings, and I know, Twigs, and maybe I'll have you explain this in a second, but how you were saying Lord of the Rings isn't technically a trilogy.
It is not a trilogy.
Is it because, why is that?
It's one story. You cannot watch Two Towers and get a complete story. It does not stand alone. To be considered a trilogy, each part has to be able to stand alone.
I'm sure that's the technical definition, but I think it's the fact that there's four books remaining, but he says we're making a trilogy, he must have meant three by that. Whatever he's saying by that, it must mean three, but then the fourth book is, they're doing something else with it, or it's not connected to these three in some way. They must be separating three from the four in some way.
Or he could just not have correct information. I mean, it's very early in production of The Silver Chair. I mean,
he spoke of it pretty confidently.
But
it is early, I agree.
I mean, it's one little word that
it's such a huge word.
Not as big.
Just like the battle word.
Battle is a huge word. That I will give you.
We'll get to that.
But I think it's a little early to be very concerned about the word trilogy when Silverchair is only in pre-production. It hasn't even started yet.
Right.
There is so much time for so many things to change. I'm assuming that the original plan was for the movies to be released together. There wasn't, I don't believe, I mean, I could be wrong, there was intended to be this half, 4-6 year wait in between Voyage of the Dawn Treader and The Silver Chair.
I guess everything you're saying is true in that it is early, but I would say let me. It could affect even The Silver Chair right now, because if they're doing what I think they're doing, and well, here's what I think is, I think, indisputable. Let me start with that, then go into where I'm reading into it, I'll admit. What I think should be indisputable is that Joe at least intends to do something with the 3 out of the 4 books in particular. It doesn't mean he's not going to make the fourth one, but there's something about 3 of them that are more connected or something. There's something he's doing with a trilogy of them. I started thinking, why would he want to single out 3 from the others? And the only thing I could think of was if they're telling an overarching narrative where the first part of the story is in the Silver Chair, maybe the second part of the story, maybe the, just as an example, I'm not saying this will happen, but just as an example, maybe Silver Chair ends on a cliffhanger. Oh, what's going to happen? Then the last battle starts and the cliffhanger gets resolved. And somehow I have no clue how that would connect to, say, the Magician's Nephew or Horse and His Boy, but you would get the sense of an overarching narrative with a beginning, a middle, and an end. That's not how the books are. The books are, 4 different glimpses, or all the series as a whole is 7 different glimpses into a world that they have, recurring characters and all that, but you can pick up Voyage of the Dawn Treader or The Magician's Nephew or even The Silver Chair, and although there are certain details you won't be able to fully appreciate, it's that you get a beginning, middle, and end satisfying story. So I think I have no clue how it'll happen, but somehow my theory is that Joe wants to make a series of Narnia films, a trilogy of them that has a sense of beginning, middle, and then a final climax at the end. So, but you don't agree with that one, Fantasia Kitty.
I could see it.
And if we do have different sides here, whoever has better audio quality, they can just be the winner.
Oh,
well, that means
just go with that.
I'm out right there. Sorry.
But what if Fantasia Kitty and I team up against you? Then 2 not so good at
1.5.
1.5.
Well, in that case, I forgot to mention Fantasia Kitty, but we're going to try to stump you with a trivia question at the end of this.
Oh,
so
good.
We'll see what happens at the end of that, and then we'll decide who wins. Anyway, your thoughts on the matter of the supposed trilogy.
I can see them doing, say, what when you're describing is like the Silver Chair maybe having some sort of, not even a cliffhanger, but maybe a final scene at the end of the credits that hints at, say, the last battle.
Shawarma.
Shawarma. There you go. And then having the Horse and His Boy being in the works, because I personally feel like you cannot have the last battle without the Horse and His Boy. You need it to understand the Kellerman race. So I could see maybe those 3 tying together in a way that you're describing. I guess I could see them working, and then having The Magician's Nephew being the prequel way, way, way at the very end. I can see that maybe working, but I just feel like one of the biggest issues that I knew of that happened between Walden Media and the C.S. Lewis estate was them not being able to decide which movies to make in which order. One of the reasons it fell apart was because Walden Media got done with Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and then they weren't interested in The Silver Chair because they didn't think that that book would make money. They looked at the book totals, and The Silver Chair hardly...
Supposedly, it's the least well. It sold the fewest copies, The Silver Chair, supposedly.
Right, exactly. So they weren't interested in doing that one. They wanted to go back and do The Magician's Nephew. And I know that at least Doug Grisham was not interested in that. I don't know about the rest of the C.S. Lewis estate, but that was definitely one of the factors in why those fell apart. And so I just have a hard time imagining Douglas Grisham jumping on board immediately right off the bat with the studios doing something that crazy. I know people on the forum had mentioned even having, instead of Diggory and Polly, somehow getting Eustace and Jill into The Magician's Nephew. And I'm like, no, that's not.
I was kind of joking around there. I wasn't being completely serious, but proposing the idea of doing a soft reboot of the series using time travel, which they did with Star Trek and I think Terminator as well. But come on, you could have, we don't know where, I'm just having fun here. We don't know where Susan Torn was before Father Christmas gave it to her. Why can't, let's say, it was created at the beginning of Narnia and then Diggory can find it and blow it. And for some reason, they, I don't, I, you know, to flesh out a story, it calls Jill and Eustace this back to the time of the magician's nephew. Boom, tie-in. Sell plush toys. Big franchise here.
There you go.
Yeah, that would be enough for me not to watch the movie.
You have permission to scream now, Twigs.
Thank you. No.
Yeah, just no. Okay, that summarizes it perfectly.
That's a horrible idea. How do you come up with these horrible ideas?
You just reread The Silver Chair, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
I'm not saying they're going to do that. It goes so far as to call get Jill and Eustace into the magician's nephew, unless there's some kind of flashback involved or flash forward or whatever, something like that. But I could see them maybe introducing some kind of plot element, even if it's subtle, to connect them together. Twigs, I always call you the most puristy of us. Do you mind me calling you that, by the way? Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's probably true.
Okay, good. Some people take it as a compliment, and I'm glad you do. You love the books.
I love the books.
So does the idea of connecting them together more, does that as a concept offend you? Like, no, they're separate stories. You shouldn't try to connect them so closely. I mean, it's obviously, it's that kind of thinking that gave us The Green Mist. We have to connect Dawn Treader to the Silver Chair somehow. So we have to have this, where's the Green Mist coming from? Mystery that no one ended up caring about. And then in the Silver Chair, oh, it's coming from the Lady of the Green Kirtle. It all connects. It all makes sense. But obviously, that didn't work out. But does the very concept say, no, they should all be separate stories? Does that very idea offend you? She's processing.
Well, they are connected stories because they are set in the same universe, and Aslan is in all the books.
Uh-huh.
That's enough connection. You don't really need any more. And
well, let me just clarify what I mean by that is, when the Fellowship of the Ring ends, it's oh my gosh, when's the Two Towers coming out? The story's not over yet. I have to see the next one. So doing like ending the Silver Chair in a way when oh my gosh, when does the sequel come out? And so you have that kind of unfolding story through all of them rather than having a satisfying resolution to all of them.
No, I want the satisfying resolution other than the question of will the kids get to return?
Right.
Then that's okay. That's enough. That's a little kind of teaser cliffhanger. You know, we know that like, at the end of Voyage, we know that Lucy and Edmund cannot get back, but we're not sure about Eustace.
Right.
So, you know, that kind of, it leaves open the possibility.
Leaves the door open.
But there's also, if he doesn't get back, then he doesn't get back.
I guess I'm not offended by the idea, except for the fact that everyone else is doing that. And why can't we have seven stories that stand alone, but are also happen to be in the same universe? I like that idea. And as far as how they would do it, I mean, at Fantasia Kitty, you seem to be assuming that Magician's Nephew, if they were going to single one out, it'd be Magician's Nephew.
Which I have no idea. I would actually think it would be Last Battle that they would single out because that's the finale.
So you're saying the one that wouldn't be part of the trilogy. I'm holding up air quotes on that.
Correct. Yeah.
So for me, I think it's if they're going to have one not be a part of the trilogy, it's clearly The Horse and His Boy. Because if you make a Silver Chair movie, the logical sequel, and again, I'm assuming they're trying to do a similar thing to Marvel or Star Wars. What is the Silver Chair 2? The Last Battle is the closest thing we have to Silver Chair 2 because it has Jill and Eustace in it. So that to me seems... And it has, you know, Tyrion's great-great-great-great-grandson or whatever. Oh, sorry,
Williams.
It has... sorry, I can always count on you guys to catch that. Narnia Web autocorrect. it's got Prince Rillian's great-great-great-grandson with King Tyrion. So it seems like you could fairly easily come up with a way to connect to those things somehow. I don't know what happens to that. And then I put The Magician's Nephew next just because that seems like such an appealing idea to do a prequel. Again, I'm comparing it to Hollywood. Oh, do a prequel. Explain where it all came from. Just from a marketing perspective, I can see them singling out The Horse and His Boy, unfortunately. Not that I want that to happen.
I actually say that more because it's the most controversial.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, I see. Oh, you mentioned the Kalormans.
Yeah.
With the contact. Man, I think they could introduce them in the Last Battle. And I mean, we're not going to see them portrayed exactly the way they are in the book as far as their culture. I'll just say that. I think that idea is gone. I don't think they're going to portray them that way. A lot has happened in the, you know, this over 60 years since the books came out.
I could say a lot about that too, but that's probably another podcast.
Oh, why don't you give us something on that? Because I think you, Twigs, you first came to Narnia Web on the Are the Chronicles sexist and racist thread.
Yes, I did.
So that's kind of why you're here. So are the Chronicles racist? I'll put it to you right now. Oh.
No. Because Lewis, he shows different cultures, and each culture has its, well, okay, so the Gentle Giants, not so many positives. But when you go with the Clormans, they are great at storytelling. And he has Erebus, who's a good character. And she marries into the royal family of Arkenland. So that's not, oh, Clormans, always bad. And then there's Emeth.
Yeah, Emeth, yeah.
Now, a lot of people will say, oh, this is against the Muslims.
Right.
No, it's much more kind of Arabian Nights type feel.
Yeah. Epic fairy tale adventure.
Yeah, the epic fairy tale of just of a different culture.
Yeah.
And every culture has its good sides and not so good sides. I mean, the Telmarines are not all that great either, but they end up being the royal family in Narnia.
Right. And they react positively when the old days come back at the end.
Yes.
We could do a whole podcast on this. Gosh.
Right.
I mean, that's all. Obviously, I basically agree with that, but it is just, I just think they'll want to, just to be safe, want to change it, just to avoid the issue completely.
I really hope not, but then I do bet that they're going to do something.
But we'd still go see it anyway, wouldn't we?
Well,
they'd still get our money one way or the other.
They probably would, unless they bring Eustace and Jill into it.
Right. Into the horse. Okay.
Yep.
They could have Shasta find. Oh, Shasta finds the horn.
No, no.
This is perfect.
Why
this is perfect.
Why did I open my mouth?
Listen, Twigs, you've figured it out. So what happens is the Pevensies disappear from Narnia. You've got to go back through the wardrobe. And then Shasta finds the horn. And then somehow we can explain how Shasta got it to Cornelius. Which sets up Prince Caspian. And when Shasta has the horn, he blows it, and for some reason it calls Jill and Eustace. I've got it. I figured it out right now. So that's how you... I take it all back. That's how you get the horse and his boy into the trilogy.
There you go.
All right. We're done. End scene.
Filmmakers, if you are listening to this, please do not take him seriously.
Oh, if it happens, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
See, this is why we can't bring this stuff up at all.
We know nothing bad has ever happened from Narnia Web posting jokes about future movies.
Never.
Yeah, certainly we never posted an April Fool's joke about there being a Caspian Susan romance only to see it come true. That has never happened. No, everyone listening, be clear, that has never ever happened. At least that's the official story. That's the party line we're all going with, at least. So yeah, that would just be one more reason I think I could see them maybe avoiding the horse and his boy. A couple other kind of situations I've seen proposed, I'll just throw at you guys. Someone I saw in the comments section said maybe they're doing. I know what they're doing: the silver chair, then the last battle part one, then the last battle part two.
I could see that,
because you have to. Everyone knows their climax movie, even if there's more movies to come, has to be in two parts. That's just how it works today, guys. That's how the kids are making movies these days. Get with the program. Sarcasm, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think I could actually see that happening, but it was proposed.
Well, I like that better than some of the other ideas.
Agreed.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess Last Battle almost is two movies, but...
I'm not for it. I just like it better than...
Yes.
Better than the others. Okay.
Let's clarify.
Pick your poison.
We want one movie per book.
Mm-hmm.
We want all of the books, and we want the correct characters... in the books.
Yeah.
Not complicated.
Right. I like them being separate. And I've been pushing all along for the Silver Chair to just... I've actually been pushing for them to take Chronicles of Narnia out of the title and just call it The Silver Chair. And don't worry about continuity. Don't worry about what comes next. Just make a movie with a satisfying beginning, middle, and end. Maybe even make it on a lower budget. Just a very character-driven story about, you know, Jill goes on a journey. I know we disagree a little bit. I guess both of you guys kind of disagree with me on what Jill's journey is, but we do agree she goes on one at least, right?
Yes.
She goes on a journey.
Yes.
Okay. We agree on that much. Just make it about that and don't make it about setting up the entire universe in this giant epic battle. That's why I like the idea of abandoning the previous continuity. I'm sorry, guys. I know some people listening probably wanted Will Poulter to come back, and even though he's 24 years old and do the Carrie Fisher thing and de-age him or whatever. No, they did CGI on her, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just do a CG Will Poulter version, whatever. But no, as I think most of us knew, he's not coming back. And
most of us are glad about that. He's too old.
Yeah, I mean, he's too old. Even those of us that really liked his performance, I think, or, well, yeah, he's obviously too old at this point. But how do you guys feel about abandoning continuity of the other films completely? Twigs, I'm curious about you especially, Twigs. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. How do you feel about, I mean, having different music? Maybe there's things in Narnia that look different, and it just has a whole different aesthetic that doesn't necessarily feel like it's even in the same world as the first three movies, because Joe seems to not want it to feel like that.
I don't think that would be one of my top complaints. You know, it's a good time to do that kind of a break because the Voyage of the Dawn Treader is all over the place. It's not in Narnia proper.
Mm-hmm.
Cair Paravel was destroyed and Caspian rebuilt it. So within the universe, you could figure out ways for it to be different. I would say the only thing that would probably really bother me is if they change the design on, say, the shields with the lion. And that's important when Rillian's shield changes from black to the lion.
Right.
But I don't think they'd get rid of that, because that particular form of the lion is pretty common throughout history, different brands, stuff like that.
Right, but it sounds like, though, that Joe is, the sense I got, and exactly say this, but the sense I got is he is proactively trying to make it different from the others and make it feel like it's its own thing and make the audience forget about the other movies and just say, this is the new trilogy, this is the new story, and the first movie in this trilogy is The Silver Chair. That's the sense I got. So does it, I mean, like with the lion, for example, does it bother you they would change that because, oh, it's different, it needs to be like the other movies, or is it, you just bother you changing it because you just like it?
As long as it feels like Narnia to me, I guess the continuity thing isn't such a big deal. I mean, I'd like Aslan to look similar.
Well, he'll look like a lion. You know, he should look pretty similar.
Yeah. But, you know, the style of clothing is not going to bother me if it's different. I mean, a lot of that stuff can be explained within the time frame,
yeah.
Time changing.
And that's a good point where you're talking about where there's not, as far as continuity, well, what are we talking about here exactly? It's basically, apart from the cast, it's basically Aslan, and he's a lion. A lion's a lion, you know? It's not going to look, can't look that different. Like, I mean, Cair Paravel has been rebuilt. That's about the only thing we have to be worried about. There isn't much continuity to worry about anyway.
Well, I'm going to jump in here because I think the thing that is going to bother people the most is going to be character design. So we've got a really distinct set of, like, dwarves, dryads, minotaurs, hopefully not minotaurs, good heavens, why did I say that? et cetera, et cetera. And so what happens then when we have Trumpkin come back, recast, and just to throw it out there, let's say they decide to go with a design that's really similar to Pauline Bain's dwarves, which look very different from the ones that Andrew Adamson created way back in the beginning with The Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe. And I think that is probably going to be the most jarring difference, at least for me, is going to be like the character design. New characters like Puddleglum and the Marsh Wiggles, we haven't seen those at all yet, so I don't think that'll be a problem. I have no problem with the recasting, because I think the only one that I will miss is probably Peter Dinklage, because I'm in the minority. I liked him as Trumpkin. But
so not Liam Neeson?
He was okay.
I agree.
I could see better and I can see worse.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
Well, and Aslan's a character that's really hard to get the right mixture in his voice. I don't know if I've come, if there's an Aslan.
A heavy golden sort of voice, whatever that means.
Yeah. And then, you know, he's got the three different voices in the horse and his boy. I don't think we're going to ever get the perfect Aslan voice. I don't think it exists.
I agree with that 100%.
But, yeah, I think that, yeah, I agree that Liam was fine, but I would have liked an Aslan that sounded more dangerous and less like a grandfather, I guess. They kind of went for the grandfather mentor figure, and I like an Aslan that had more energy and sounded more unpredictable and more wild, and what's the word I'm looking for? Not tame. I think that's what I'm looking for, even though I thought Liam was fine overall. I think what's interesting about continuity is, and man, this makes me feel old, is that I think some of the negative reaction we're seeing to that is fans who, get this, grew up with the first three Narnia movies.
Yeah.
That was part of their childhood. And to them, that's Narnia. For us, we'd read the books 10 times, but by the time we saw the movie. So to us, it's, oh, we're fine with, you know, for us, it's the movies are just one more version. You know, most of these books have been adapted several times to a play or animated or audio drama one way or another. Oh, there's so we're getting another version of it. Okay. But for some people at this point, since the movies are, you know, many years old now, how long has it been? I guess it's been about 12 years since Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe came out. So for some people, no, that's what Narnia is. And so that's the perspective that we're coming at this with. He did touch upon, I guess we'll get to one more kind of the juicier things he said, I guess. I want to make sure we have time for that. He used the B word, Narnie Weber's fear. And let me, dun, 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 dun. You know, he's asked about having, is there pressure to have a big battle in the movie? And he says, well, there is a battle at the end of the book. And I can only talk about, again, words here. What does he mean? Well, I mean, I've read the book, and pretty sure you look at the definition of battle, and it basically means lots and lots of people fighting. So I don't think there's a battle at the end of the book, so I can assume he's just broadly speaking and means, oh, there's action scenes at the end, which there is. They fight the snake, and I guess that's the only big kind of action scene at the end, really, but I guess that's just what he's talking about. But then he says, let me do the Joe voice again, there will be a battle at this, but not quite the battle you think it's going to be. What? Whoa, more. Give us more. Don't stop there. Feel free to speculate as to what he meant by that. Let's just stir the pot. What do you think, Fantasia Kitty?
All right. Worst possible scenario is that the Underworlders have busted out of the ground and are attacking Cair Paravel, and the Narnians are fighting back, and that is my worst case scenario right there.
Well, I guess it's a worst case. I guess you can do, I guess I could think of worse than that, but that doesn't sound.
Please don't.
I'm sure you love the idea, though. I was waiting for Twigs to process and recover.
Hey, I was busy looking up the definition of battle, okay?
Oh, so do tell.
All right. So according to dictionary.com, first definition is a hostile encounter or engagement between opposing military forces. Number two, participation in such hostile encounters or engagements. Three, a fight between two persons or animals.
What?
And number four, any conflict or struggle.
A fight between two persons or animals? Is that one of the definitions?
Yes.
Oh, I feel better already.
You should have just gotten a dictionary right off the bat.
Seriously, I could have settled it. I mean, there's at least two persons fighting a snake at one point. There you go. There's your battle. Okay, I'm going to sleep well tonight knowing that.
But it's not the battle that you're expecting.
Yeah, that's the...
That's the big thing. He actually says it's not the one you're expecting. And I've been speculating for years. I think a lot of us have that, oh, you know how they can squeeze, because that's always the thing with the movies that we're fearful of, right? Then they're trying to look at this from the perspective of, oh, it's all got to be like Lord of the Rings, so we have to squeeze battles into it. And obviously, we don't know that's what we're doing, but as fans of Narnia, Narnie Webbers, we're very sensitive to this issue, so we could be overanalyzing and reading into this. That's a very real possibility. But I do worry about having the gnomes break out and attack Cair Paravel, and maybe they're intercutting with, I really hope they don't do this, because I generally don't like it in movies when they intercut a bunch of things happening at the end of their climax. Even in Return of the Jedi, I don't think that works very well. And then they're fighting. They're about to overthrow Cair Paravel. Then at the last second, they cut the head off the snake, and all the gnomes either fall over dead or they wake up and realize, oh, we've been under a spell, and it's a wonderful, happy ending. And I don't like taking the distraction away from it. Should be about the choice to, are we going to trust Aslan's signs and free Rillian? Even though the Lady of the Green Kirtle is starting to convince us that, Narnia wasn't real. The sun wasn't real. What are they going to do? Are they going to fall for it? Or are they going to remember what's actually true? That's the real emotional climax of the story. That's the real test that they have to face. It's all about the signs. Are they going to follow the signs or not? And I think having an epic battle, there's a real threat of watering that down and just having it be a military victory at the end, basically.
There is an interesting quote on the comments page about the battle thing. Gandalf the Grey says, "The battle that Joe talks about will be different. I think he meant that it is going to be a psychological or philosophical kind of battle, a battle between mind's power, a battle between the four, especially Puddlegrim and the Green Witch, which wouldn't be so bad."
Twigs, the bringer of optimistic news here that make, oh, okay, there's another version of this I hadn't thought of. Thank you. I will sleep much better tonight. I know that.
You're welcome.
So, yeah, as far as the battle of that they're having with the Lady of the Green Curl, basically, is what Gandalf the Grey is in the comment section proposing, that's the battle he's talking about. Maybe he's saying, oh, it's a battle, but not that kind of battle. It's not an action-packed battle. It's more of an emotional, psychological battle.
I know what it's going to be. It's going to be Aslan, Caspian, Jill, and Eustace going and taking out the whole school.
Oh,
that's the battle. Okay. Yeah. The giant helicopter shot of them just killing all the students at Experiment House.
That's it.
Can they get the... We'll have to wait for the unrated extended cut to see the full version of it. There you go. There's your climactic battle. Not the one you expect. I wonder if that is what he meant, actually. Obviously, I'm exaggerating. But, I hadn't thought of that either. So I'd kind of thought this as a clear-cut case of, oh, the gnomes are going to do something. But maybe not. There's a few other possible explanations here. He called the silver chair, speaking of dark stuff, one of the questions called the silver chair the darkest book in the series.
Totally disagree.
Me too. It's not the darkest book. It's kind of dismal. It's gray. At some points, there's not a whole lot of hope. But it's got nothing on the last battle. The beginning of the last battle is far darker than the silver chair could ever be.
Yep, agreed.
But Twigs, it's all underground at the end. Obviously, it's the darkest.
Well, if
seriously,
you go...
when I first heard people start talking about being the darkest book, that's what I thought they had to mean because I couldn't figure it out. It's like nowhere near as bad as the last battle.
The last battle just has so many things in it that you didn't think that was allowed to happen in Narnia with the false Aslan. And there's a slight ray of hope coming with, oh, we've got puzzle. We're going to prove everyone wrong. Just kidding. They use it against them. And it's just when you thought things were about to get better. So, I think it's definitely the last battle. I might even put Prince Caspian ahead of Silver Chair as far as darkness.
I would agree with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. Prince Caspian gets pretty bad, but I feel that there's more sense of, I mean, if we're not talking about simply, physical darkness, in which case the one that's underground is obviously the darkest, but there's much more, now maybe the Walden movie, but there's much more, there's still some hope in the book. It's pretty dismal. They have to call for help. The help kind of doesn't come, but the help's trying to come. And you've got Truffle Hunter that's always, I believe in Aslan.
Doesn't lose hope. Yeah, actually, in the last battle, they kind of lose hope, don't they? It seems like almost.
It's like a desperate last fight for the last battle. And Prince Caspian doesn't feel like they completely ever lost the hope to the degree that...
I don't know. They were summoning up the White Witch, though.
They weren't, though. The hag and the werewolf were. They were discouraged, but we still, we had, Truffle Hunter, the help will come. If, like in the Walden version, Caspian had said, okay, let's start with this whole blue magic thing and call the White Witch.
Yeah, the blue fire.
Then that would be the darkest. And I'm not saying it's not dark. I'm just, it seems like maybe there's more highs and lows as opposed to the silver chair where once you get out, Aslan's country doesn't even have that huge positive. I mean, it's not even really that positive because we have Eustace falling off a cliff.
That's true.
Jill, I'm sure, did not enjoy her time in Aslan's country.
That's a good point, yeah.
And, there's a brief moment of, they had a brief moment of light when, the birds were around and they were walking through the forest and it was nice. And then Eustace falls off a cliff. Jill's crying again. She has to face Aslan. Then they go to...
It's not a positive experience, despite the fact that she's in Aslan's country.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And then they go to Narnia. They get one nice feast, a fairly nice night, and then they're out in the... No, they don't even get a night. Then they're out in the wigwam.
Uh-huh.
And from then on, they're, they're journeying north. It's winter's coming on. It's fall.
Not that much to be happy about, I guess, throughout the story. Yeah, I agree.
there aren't those flashes of hope.
Yeah, that makes sense. And hope is, that's kind of one of the big themes of the Silverchair my eyes have been kind of opened up to in the past year or so, is Lewis setting up a sense of despair and darkness at the beginning. And then you have, it just feels, you know, Caspian's son is going to die without an heir. It just feels completely hopeless. And of course, the situation at Experiment House feels completely and utterly hopeless. When asked about when asked about what is the main theme of this story, and this is kind of the last thing I wanted to go into before we wrap up. You know, Joe basically said, I know this may have ruffled a few feathers, but let me read what he said. But he talked about standing up to tyranny. He talked about standing up to bullies. And he talked about discovering who you are. He did mention hope, but then he quickly went into things like that. So what's kind of your, I guess, Fantasia Kid, you think you kind of had the biggest reaction. What's kind of your gut reaction to when you hear him talking about discovering who you are? I asked the question because I already knew the answer.
I went back and reread the transcript, and I'm not quite as panicky over that as I was. However, that one just felt so cliche with Hollywood movies. Like, I'm one of the taboo people here, but because he said that it's kind of taboo to do this in today's world, but I don't even know what that means. Like, what does it mean to find yourself? And I felt like with the Silver Chair, it has nothing to do with Jill finding herself. It's finding Aslan. And
if she listens to herself, she's going to get eaten by giants.
Exactly. So I wasn't really like digging that one very much. But I think when you couple it with when they talked about standing up to tyranny and bullies and stuff like that, I think probably the direction they're going to go is they're going to really build up the beginning with the bullies.
Yeah.
They're going to make a big climactic point with standing up to the Lady of the Green Kirtle, and then they're going to finish it at the end with Jill standing up to the bullies at the end. And I think they're gonna play that up a lot more in the movie than it was in the book. That's how I interpreted that.
That makes sense. That actually makes a lot more sense than what I had kind of thought of. And I do think you know, him talking about you're saying it just sounds kind of generic the way he says it. Well, it may be in this case he was doing the PR safe, didn't want to say too much, just kind of say, oh yeah, you know, it's about discovering who you are. And he was not wanting to get into too many specifics. It could be as simple as that we shouldn't read into that too much, but I think it's another one thing that we're inclined to read into it because of Don Treader certainly had that generic don't run from who you are, believe in yourself kind of message, which feels really hollow. And I mean, I agree with what Joe says. It's not, believing in yourself isn't a bad thing necessarily in and of itself. It's just that it's such an easy, safe, no one could possibly be offended by this, you know, hollow kind of message to go. And we see that so much. Twiggs, did that, when he talked about discovering who you are, did that bother you as much as it did some people initially? And also, again, you work with children. You're in, you know, education's your field. Him talking about bullying, what did you think about that?
I just don't know what to think. Like, as he's talking about what the main point is, and I can kind of see, you know, basically, when you think about it, tyranny is the end result of bullying. It can be, because bullying is basically about power. The bully is trying to get power over other people. However they do it, but it's an unequal situation, which is what tyranny would be too,
right?
But yeah, that whole thing just kind of confused me. And yeah, it's a real red flag that it's about knowing who you are and finding out who you are and recognizing who you are. It's kind of,
Yeah, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think we shouldn't read too much into that. I think that the tyranny and the bullying, to me, those are more specific things.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe they will play up the Lady of the Green Kirtle as being a bully. I never quite thought of it that way.
Well, and they wouldn't even, the way she acts is, when you think, if you analyze it, you know, like, she's telling them that they're wrong, they're not worth anything, right. She's the only thing that matters. Bullies put people down as well, so I can kind of see that, and I wouldn't have thought of it that way,
But, and maybe that's the connecting tissue between the Lady of the Eden Curl, between Narnia basically and Experiment House. I kind of thought of it as the connecting tissue. It's about complete hopelessness, Narnia and Experiment House that they're in, but they're seeing it. Oh, it's bullying and tyranny is kind of the connecting tissue. I don't necessarily have a red flag reaction to that. I just had never thought of it that way before, and I'm open to that.
Another possibility too is that this character is barely mentioned in the book, but the head of the Experiment House could really have some maybe parallels between
develop the head. Yeah,
yeah, the head of the Experiment House and the Lady of the Green Kirtle. They could,
and then see the head go off and join Parliament at the end. Maybe they'll actually show that.
There you go.
Okay. Wow. This is a long one, but there was a plot we had to cover. Thank you, guys. And I know it sounded like there was some negativity in here. It really is just concerned fans. We care. And, the first three films have had some really good things. They've had some not so good things. And maybe we're inclined to be too sensitive over certain things. So do forgive us. Obviously, all three of us are looking forward to seeing the movie. And Joe, if you're listening, thank you, thank you, thank you for making the video.
Yes, very much so.
Definitely. It was very nice.
Okay, enough of that. Let's stump a Narnie Weber. Fantasia Kitty. Sorry,
yay.
This is your initiation into the talking. I guess you've been on once before, but this was your first time on Talking Beasts.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a trivia question shortly about Narnia. And the way I'll do it for this one is you can either answer it or you can ask for a hint. You can blow Queen Susan's horn and get a little bit of help.
Okay.
So, Fantasia Kitty, are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, Fantasia Kitty, your question is, which Chronicle of Narnia is the longest? According to, and the way I did this was word count, by the way. You can't just do pages because there's a lot of variables that may mix up the pages. So I went by word count.
Well, in my mind, when I picture the series in my head, the books that are the fattest are either The Voyage of the Dawn Treader or The Horse and His Boy. So those are the two that I initially lean towards.
So are you confident enough to go for it, or do you want to get a hint?
Well, at least this question, I'm not going to feel too stupid if I get it wrong. So
that's true.
Do I get an extra prize if I go for it and get it right without a hint?
Pride.
Pride. Okay. Well, I'll take a hint just because I'm curious if it's at least maybe one of those two. Sure, I'll blow Queen Susan's horn.
And your hint is this book was published in 1952.
Yeah, that doesn't help me very much. oh, goodness.
The longest Chronicle of Narnia was published in 1952.
That does actually change the way I'm leaning, though. I wonder if it's Prince Caspian. I'm just going to throw Prince Caspian out there, and I hope that that's correct.
So you're saying Prince Caspian is the longest Chronicle of Narnia. Is that your final answer?
Sure.
Incorrect. I'm sorry.
Do I get a turn?
Sure. Why don't you take a guess?
Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
That is correct.
Okay. Should have gone with my first guess. Oh, well.
To be precise, there are 53,136 words in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. This is followed by second place, The Silver Chair, with 51,980 words. So win by about 1,200, I guess, Dawn Treader ahead of The Silver Chair.
I knew that Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe was published in 1950. And I was pretty sure he published pretty much one a year. So
yeah,
then it would be Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
I know. I was thinking that the first one was 1951, but I could not remember for sure.
Cool. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Please don't forget about the Silver Chair Reading Group. Again, go to narnieweb.com, click on Forum, and then Silver Chair Reading Group. We are way overanalyzing this book, and it's awesome.
It is.
What better time to do it? If you have any thoughts on today's episode, what do you think about the trilogy idea? What do you think about what Joe said about the themes of the story, bullying and tyranny? How do you feel about Will Poulter? I know not everyone is super happy about Will Poulter being gone and abandoning continuity and all that. If you have any thoughts on that, post a comment below or head over to the narnieweb.com discussion forum. You'll probably want to go to general movie discussion for thoughts on that.
And come up with new ideas for battle.
Sure, exactly. New, more optimistic interpretations for the word battle.
Just specify which ones you do not want to see.
I'm just so excited to be doing this for another I just love chit-chatting about worst-case scenarios. I guess that's why my name's Glenn Puddle, but I don't know. Somehow it's more fun to... Well, maybe not. Whatever. It'll be fun to do another couple of years of this, further up and further in. Mm-hmm.